Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I am bringing you one of the hot stories, ladies and gentlemen, because you all know uranium is having its day in the sun, and I believe that uranium, as I when I spoke to Rick Rule recently, he was like, uranium. So I've asked Siobhan Lancaster, who's the Managing Director and CEO of 92 Energy. ASX code is 92E. Siobhan's joining me from Vancouver, where they have been very busy making discoveries in the Athabasca Basin in Canada. Siobhan, great to see you again. First of all, congratulations on the discovery. Very exciting news for 92 Energy.
Yeah, thanks, Kerry. It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me. It really is an exciting moment for 92 Energy, making a uranium discovery on our fourth hole ever. Really, it's amazing story, and I'm very delighted to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, well, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the discovery, and by the way, on the fourth hole, talk about making sure you're putting shareholder funds to good use. That's pretty amazing. Before we get into it, for those listeners that may not know 92 Energy, give us a brief overview of the project, where it's located.
Yeah, sure. So 92 Energy is an Australian-listed uranium exploration company. We're exploring for high-grade uranium in the Athabasca Basin. And our recent discovery was at the Gemini uranium project, which is on the eastern side of the Athabasca Basin. So right where all the activity happens, in the Athabasca Basin. And I guess the Athabasca Basin, for those of you who don't know it, is one of the highest grade uranium districts in the world. It's got the Cigar Lake and the MacArthur River mines there. It's been operating as a uranium district for many, many years. And I mean, it really is one of the best jurisdictions. It is a tier one uranium jurisdiction to be a part of. So we went there with the aim of searching for high-grade uranium, and hopefully that is what we have found at the Gemini Uranium Project.
Yeah, that's right. And you only listed in 2020. You've been. I'd like to know a little bit more for our listeners as well. Why this area, and how did you come across this, Siobhan? Because it's clearly delivering, and you did say when we last spoke that you had, strong hopes that there would be a discovery hole made, and you did it on your fourth hole, which is pretty amazing. As you say, how did you come across this project?
Yes, so originally when we listed, ISO Energy, who is a uranium exploration company here in the Athabasca Basin, actually sold us the initial Gemini project. We liked the project so much, we actually pegged a whole bunch of additional ground around it. And the reason we pegged this project was because we had a prospectivity study done over the Athabasca Basin that we had the IP to, and this area came up very strongly in that sort of prospectivity model. So we sort of took that prospectivity model and went, okay, let's do some further exploration on this area. We carried out a VTEM survey over the whole Gemini area. And that, of course, came up with some conductors, which is basically the potential to host graphitic rocks. And then we also had radioactive boulders to the south, 10 kilometres south from where the GMDC discovery hole was, as well as some muskeg and lake sediment sampling. So that was between 0 and 660 ppm, which for those of you who are involved in Namibian deposits would know is extremely high uranium content on its own. Right. So for me, that made me in particular very interested because I thought, my God, if they can have uranium content in the bog and lake sediment sampling at this sort of elevated amount, there must be something nearby. So that was my non-technical view on it. Obviously it was backed up as well by a very high quality technical team.
Yeah.
And actually the GMZ, which was meant to be our first hole, was basically, you know, right where there was those high muskeg samples. It's about 10 kilometres north of the radioactive boulders. And it was a very similar story to how they discovered Key Lake, which is a big uranium deposit in the Athabasca as well, or was a mine, actually. So, you know, I just like the simplicity of the story, really, and I think that's what got us excited.
I want to, just before we get into the discovery and what you're doing, you know, to, I guess, at the end of the day, as investors, we want to know, you know, what's next and how the future growth of the company is going to come along. But before I do that, I want to just ask you about unconformity uranium, because people will probably say to me, what does that mean and why is this particular deposit interesting to you?
Yeah, so look, unconformity type uranium or related uranium is found really in two locations in the world. One is in Australia, in the Northern Territory. So you have several deposits up there. And the other, of course, is the Athabasca. And the Athabasca unconformity deposits tend to be very high grade uranium deposits. Now, I'm not going to get into the geology of unconformity deposits because it's probably going to be too much for most of our listeners.
Yes, but
What I can say is there's two types of unconformity-related deposits. One is unconformity and the other is basement-hosted. So we at the GMZ zone are dealing with a basement-hosted discovery, which basically means there is no sandstone over the Athabasca cover there, and you're dealing with rocks that are a lot harder than what they would be if it was in the unconformity. And, of course, if this goes forward and we discover some beautiful high grade stuff around it, and we do actually get to the point where we want to look at potentially mining it, the advantage of having basement hosted is that you've got very hard rocks and it's amenable to very traditional mining styles. So you don't have to do things like they've done in Cigar Lake, which is freeze all around the unconformity to actually be able to mine it. And so these have some massive, are very advantageous if you find these types of discoveries in the Athabasca. So, yeah, we really like the story and we like the fact that, you know, it's very close to surface. And that was always something that, you know, we really was part of the story about what we were trying to discover, and which hopefully we have.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, actually, is where in terms of the drilling that you've done, you said it with the fourth hole was the discovery hole. How deep was it? How complex was it, and how large is this structure that you think might host some more uranium?
Yeah, so the hole itself was 330 metres, and the uranium was actually discovered 190 metres below surface. So we had 5.5 metres at 0.12%. Which of itself is pretty decent grade. That's 1,200 ppm. So for those of us Namibian followers, you know, that's quite a substantially higher than what you would find in Namibia. But what we're actually seeing and what we believe we're seeing is an alteration halo. So basically an alteration halo, it goes from right at the surface all the way down almost to the very bottom of the hole, so 300 metres. And that's got us, you know, very excited because it makes us believe that we're onto a substantial system here. And this, of course, has been proven up sort of 400 metres across the way, base load drilled a hole as well, and it was a very similar result. So that tells us that we've got at least 400, 450 metre strike length where we're actually dealing, and that's not bad for two holes, you know, to be able to know that sort of information. So we know we're dealing with a very, very large system here. Now, what we're hoping to do when we go and follow up drill it is to actually discover where that really high grade uranium is located. So what tends to happen with uranium in the Athabasca, if you look at sort of a triple R or an arrow type deposit, is that they sort of go from very near surface and they steeply drop down. And, you know, for example, Arrow goes all the way down to 900 metres from surface. So the other thing that got us very excited about the hole, of course, is for our first hole, this is a very good hole. It's very similar to some of the other discoveries in the basin, which have proven to be very significant discoveries. So, for example, the Arrow discovery had 5.5 metres at 0.3%. That was their first hole. And so this is fairly similar if you look at the mineralization in it. And then, of course, the Triple R discovery, you know, we've just had Kanan come and join us. Now, Kanan is our new VP of exploration. And he saw the core and his first comment to me was, wow, this core is very impressive. It looks quite similar to the Triple R core. So that in itself is a big tick and, you know, gets us very excited about what we're dealing with here.
Is that because the Triple R core was of a much larger deposit? Just explain that a little bit, why that's exciting.
Well, Triple R, so there's several deposits in the Patterson Lake Trend area there. There's the Arrow deposit and then there's the Triple R deposit. Now, they're both on their own highly economic deposits. Okay. So they've had feasibility studies done and, you know, the economics behind them is very good. So that's very exciting. If we have something that looks similar to that, that says to us, well, you know, if potentially we were to, you know, find some high-grade stuff in there, you know, you don't know about the economics yet until you've got a resource, but it makes you very excited about the potential for it and the upside.
Yeah, and it is the upside, but I'm talking to you sort of mid to late October. What are your plans between now and January, for example? Because what I'd love to hear from you is, for current shareholders and also for people who are looking at 92E, what are you going to be doing between now and the new year?
Yes, so they have two distinct drilling seasons in Canada, one being the summer drilling season and one being winter. Now, there's no drilling occurring anywhere in the basin at the moment. It's all finished. Okay. And so the next drilling season starts sort of depending on winter. So we're hoping to get in there as soon as we possibly can, depending on the weather, which will be probably early January, but it could be later than that. So we would hope to do that.
That's right in the middle of winter, isn't it? So isn't it like, are you going through snow and ice and cold?
Yeah, look, absolutely. So it's actually the best time to drill in the basin because you can freeze the roads, you can really easily move stuff around. You don't have to do helicopter-assisted programs. So it's actually the best time to drill in the basin and it's the cheapest time to drill in the basin. So this is why we're very excited to be able to go in December and get the drill rig there. We're hoping to drill up to 7,000 metres hoping to have two drill rigs on site and, you know, get really busy around the GMZ and hopefully a little bit along the conductor there as well to, you know, see whether there's anything further than just the immediate zone. So, you know, it's an exciting time and we'll be, you know, expanding our camp and getting lots of new people on site. So it's going to be fantastic. It's really exciting.
So I guess between now and then it's a lot of planning and making sure that, you know, the rigs will be on site. You've got two rigs coming, making sure they're getting the right team and getting the camp sorted. Is that what happens between now and then?
Yeah, and in addition to actually getting the road sorted as well. So there's a winter road that we'd need to upgrade and make sure is operating as well. So that's actually the old Key Lake mining road. So it's already been established a long time ago as a main road and we would be looking to upgrade that road for the purposes of this.
You recently raised just over $7 million, I think, for this future work. So you're well funded. Those funds are partly to do with upgrade of the road. Talk to us about where those funds are going to be, because that was at 72 cents each. You've had a great run on your share price, money in the bank at the moment. What I'm looking for, where are those funds going to be deployed and how do you see the next few months?
Yeah, look, we're in a tremendously strong position. We've really lined everything up. We've got money in the bank. We've got a great team. We're ready to go. So the money is really predominantly going to be used on doing that follow-up drilling at the Gemini Mineralized Zone, the GMZ as we call it, and using the Canadian expression, the GMZ. We're going to be putting a lot of that money into that follow-up drilling program. And, of course, we've got some other great exploration that we'd need to follow up on as well. So predominantly that's going to be our focus, GMZ, and then we'll do some other exploration as well.
Yeah, and two questions for you now. I want to find out a little bit more about the technical team and why they're important. But before I do, the exploration upside, because this is Gemini at the moment, this is your fourth drill hole. How big a project, because you've got not just one project, you've got a whole district. How do you, I guess, prioritise where to go with the funds that you've got at the moment?
Great question. Well, obviously the focus is going to be on GNZ because we're going to be looking for that high-grade uranium. And obviously the upside for investors when we do find that high-grade uranium, or if we find that high-grade uranium, is absolutely tremendous. You know, so that is where a lot of our focus is going to be. But of course, you know, we are an exploration company and we're a greenfields exploration company. So we'll always try and move other projects forward as well whilst we're doing the GMZ zone. So to try and move those other projects forward. You know, we've got quite a few projects. We've obviously got power lines, which we picked up and we spoke about last time. That's another sort of similar story to Gemini. It's right along the edge of the basin, potential for basement hosted uranium, you know, near surface, ticks all those boxes, has radioactive boulders and different things like that going for it as well. So we're really excited to be able to explore that at some point. And we've also got our Clover project, which is a very good project. It's slightly deeper, but, you know, has some great ZTEM results there and you know, is along some nice trends as well. So that's another really good project. And, of course, we've got the Tower project, which is only 10 kilometres from Cigar Lake as well. So, you know, three very, very good greenfields exploration projects that we'd like to move forward in some capacity as well.
So you'll be looking. So are you going to be doing those alongside the GMZ, or are you going to wait till you've done that work and then move on to more exploration?
Look, we're still doing some planning around it. So we may drill two different projects this winter, or we may wait until the summer drilling season and drill another project at that point. So we're still in the deciding phase there.
That's why planning is important, ladies and gentlemen.
It is indeed.
Technical, you mentioned the team a couple of times. How important is it? Is it the Athabasca Basin is quite technically challenging, or is it important to just have people that understand the geological structure in this area, or both?
Look, I think both of what you've said is important. It's really important to have a team that understands the location, all of the people in the area, for a resourcing point of view, but it's mainly the geological features. So, for example, we've got Kanan and Steve Blower on our team, and both have been involved in several discoveries in the Athabasca Basin. So they really are the A-team. Okay, Steve Blower has been involved in three different uranium discoveries, and Kanan's been involved in two. So, you know, like you could not possibly get a better team if you asked for it. And you know, and they're just really good guys, you know, so it's great to be able to work with them and do the planning going forward and see their excitement around this, because they're also, you know, they're quite tempered in their excitement, but they're not. They're very excited about this. So that's really great to see. And it was wonderful going out onto site with the two of them and watching them see the core for the first time. It was quite fun, I must say.
So they're excited. Now, that picture behind you, just while we're here and I'm looking at you, that's actually where you've been. Is that right? Is that where you've been? Is that Gemini?
Yeah, so this is the Gemini project. So it's pretty close to where the GMZ is.
And have you got any challenges from an environmental point of view up there? Or is it's been a uranium district for ages, Kerry. The government understands it and it's not that difficult.
Look, you always have problems environmentally in terms of you have to act as a custodian of the environment, and that doesn't matter where you are in the world.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the same in the Athabasca Basin. It's the same in Namibia. It's the same in Australia. So you always put that as number one when you're doing anything. And, you know, this is a pristine environmental area, so you'd really want to look after that. I mean, I could say the good thing about the GMZ is it's not on a lake, which is a common feature of many of these zones in the Athabasca. So we're quite fortunate that it's not too close to a water body.
So is it over? So it's over on the sort of like, because I'm seeing a lake behind you. So it's not there. It's on the land side, is it?
It's on the land side.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, we're running out of time, and I always ask this of my this is an investor program. You've done very well. Share price has been very strong. You've just raised just over $7 million recently at 72 cents. So you've got money in the bank. What I want to know from you, that what I ask everybody, three reasons why you think right now is a great time for investors to be looking at 92E.
I mean, the number one thing is the GMZ. The upside for drilling at the GMZ is tremendous. And, you know, this is really the leverage point that you can really do very well out of uranium exploration companies. So that is very, very exciting. And I'm really looking forward to drilling it in January. We'll be able to actually release spectrometer results as we go through. So that's another thing. You don't have to wait 6 months for the assays. You'll get a little sneak peek as we start drilling. I guess the second reason, and everyone says this, is we've got the A-team, but we really do have the A-team in this case. You know, Kanan and Steve Blow are just so technically fantastic. They have so much knowledge of the Athabasca Basin and honestly could not have a better team than them leading the technical program going forward. And, of course, the third reason is we are in the Athabasca Basin, which really is the best uranium district in the world, and why would you want to be anywhere else? So, you know, it's a really compelling story, and I think there's potentially a lot of upside for investors going forward.
Well, I congratulate you on that discovery hole, fourth hole they ever drilled, ladies and gentlemen. Bingo, there they went. I've said it before, right place, right time, right team. I wish you all the best, Siobhan, and I can't wait to have you back in January. But I think the thing that people have to also understand is they can actually find out what they're doing pretty quickly. They don't have to wait so long for results. So, you know, here in Australia, we might be distracted and you'll suddenly come up with some great news. So pay attention.
Absolutely. Don't have too long a holiday.
Siobhan Lancaster, Managing Director and CEO of 92 Energy, congratulations on the discovery hole, and we look forward to lots more news coming forward. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks, Carrie.